In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you spend a little time reading the scriptures, you will find the sequence of events as they play out to be fascinating. Sometimes we are surprised or even miffed by the actions of the Lord's apostles. 10 days ago, on August 6th, we celebrated the feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord. This morning's gospel picks up a mere 5 verses later, with the Lord and his disciples having just come down off of Mount Tabor. The disciples, 3 of them, Peter, John, and James, had just seen the revelation of the fullness of the glory of God. Now they, with the other disciples, are confronted with a test. A man brings them his son who suffers from epilepsy. He explains that the boy often falls or throws himself into fire and water. Not only is the boy afflicted with a terrible and during that time period an untreatable disease, but also his family has to fear for his bodily safety when his attacks occur. So this father had obviously heard that the Lord is a great teacher and healer. So because of what he has heard, he brings forth his son. First, we hear that the boy is brought to the disciples. The disciples, we already know through their association with Christ, and they had already been given the power to cast out demons and to heal the sick. But the disciples were unable to cure the boy. So then the man brings his son to our Lord, tells him of the terrible affliction of his child, and proceeds to tell Christ that his disciples were unable to help. Then Jesus states the following startling words: "O perverse and faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" He then says, "Bring the boy to me, and it's as it said in the scripture, he immediately cures him. Later in private, the disciples asked why they were not able to cure the boy. Christ again uses startling words when he says, "Because of your unbelief. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here and there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." In another of the gospel accounts, the contrast between belief and unbelief is made even stronger. Before the miracle, Christ asked the Father, "Do you believe that I can do this?" And the Father responds, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." It's astonishing that after all they have witnessed, the miracles, the feedings, healings, and his transfiguration on Mount Tabor, his disciples could still be told that they do not believe. What does Christ mean when he tells them that they lack faith? Sometimes we like to approach the Christian life in very much the same way we approach everything in life. If it makes sense, then it must be right. If I see some proof, then I can believe. So we read the Bible, we understand it to a certain degree, we accept the witness of the church fathers, and even our own experiences with God. And because of all of this, we believe. But in the scriptures, we are reminded that the wisdom and way of God is not the wisdom and the way of men. Think of it. The apostles have no problem believing when Christ is standing before them in glory on Mount Tabor, or when he's performing miracles before their very eyes. However, when a miracle was not occurring, they still lacked true faith in Christ. Christ told them, if they even had the tiniest bit of faith, like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds in the scriptures, if they had a tiny amount of faith, nothing would be impossible for them. Faith literally is a belief and trust in Christ as one Savior. If the disciples had this belief and trust in Christ, even when he was not performing miracles, then they would have had no problem healing the epileptic son. The faith Christ is referring to is giving oneself wholly to himself, to God. If the disciples had fully dedicated themselves in every way to Christ, they could have healed the boy. And in fact, after the resurrection, think of it, they do give themselves over entirely to God's will. They go on to perform countless miracles, spreading the message of the gospel, and even dying for Christ. Faith is not believing what you see when you see it. That, my dear people, is common sense. Faith is believing that every word of Christ is true, and then living by those very words. Here is how our Lord answered his disciples on the importance of faith. If you have faith, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. I would like to conclude with a prayer. I would ask that you all lower your heads and listen to the words of the prayer and apply them to your lives. Lord, give us this faith that moves mountains. You alone know the difficulties, the pains, and problems that loom before each of us as impenetrable mountains. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Strengthen our faith. Amen.